Welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. And welcome to the program. It's Wednesday, 6 o'clock in Las Vegas. It's 8 o'clock in the Midwest in Chicago. And it's 9 o'clock on the East Coast if you're in New York. And this is the Logic in Broadcasting Network. The facilities of LVRocks.com. We thank them for letting us borrow their facilities, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And tonight's guest, in a little bit, will be Joe Ganneman, the blogger from the Moderate Voice blog. And in the second hour, our secret guest from Battlestar Galactica, hopefully will show up. And then the backup would be Robert Hayes from the Blogger News Network. He'll be on as well in the second hour. And the program is podcasted on LVRocks.com. And I want to thank SpankWagon.net for archiving the program. However, they have yet to archive a single program in September, I've been told. So I'll have to get on them about that. So anyway, there's some breaking news going on right now here in Las Vegas I want to touch on before we get moving. Apparently, about 15 minutes ago, there was a wreck on the Strip over by the Bellagio Hotel. Apparently, a drunk driver drove off the Strip and over by the Bellagio Fountains and apparently hit 15 people. So we're waiting to see supposedly some serious injuries, and it just happened just when I was pulling in. They broke into K-News with that. So hopefully if somebody's out there wants to keep an eye on the net and see if we can update that story about the in case nobody knows, Bellagio is a hotel on the Strip next door to my Caesar's Palace on Las Vegas Boulevard in Flamingo, and they have a fountain out there, and every 30 minutes the fountain starts up and it dances to music. And people stand out there and everything else. So we're waiting to hear an update on the story about the people getting hit by the car at the Bellagio. So if you hear anything more, we'll let us know. Anybody there has availability for the internet, you can please let us know, and I'll pass along to the listeners out there. So anyway, move along to the news to you. And also that plane, we don't know if that plane managed to land in L.A. or not. That was an air-breaking story I was following before I left as well. That JetBlue plane was dumping its fuel, and apparently the nose gear was in a 90-degree angle, and it couldn't land. It was dumping the fuel in the ocean, the last I saw when I was leaving to come here. And apparently they were landing in L.A. They had the foam on the runway and everything else, so I don't know what's going on with that. But we got two breaking stories. Wow. And the first news to you item will be about the. First, I want to touch on this. Of course, our thoughts with the people who are in the way of Hurricane Rita Cosby there. And but it's horrendous. I guess it's going to go through Houston and Galveston area there, and that's where a lot of the evacuees are from New Orleans. So I mean, this is ridiculous. And we hopefully those people be all right. I mean, it's a terrible storm, and of course, our thoughts are with everybody there. And and one thing about that Mayor Nagin, you know, this guy is, you know, inept. I mean, who does he think he is? You know, the government says, no, don't send the people back to their homes yet, and he goes ahead and sends them in. You know, 100,000 people he wants to send in back to their neighborhoods, knowing that there's a hurricane brewing south of Florida, with aimed at that same area where New Orleans is at. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know what that's all about? The man needs a constituency. He can't be a mayor unless he has people living in his city. So I think that's what all that comes down to. He wants to be act like the god of New Orleans. Oh, you can move in. And then he had to look like he looked real sheepish yesterday when he was telling people they had to move back out now. I mean, ridiculous. Let FEMA make sure that the area is all right. The electricity is going 100%, and then he start letting people in, because even FEMA is saying no, it's too early, it's too early, it's too early. So, I mean, Nagin, come on, get some sense in your head, for crying out loud. So, and the first item is the superbug germ kills three in Chicago. Three Chicago area children have died of toxic shock syndrome-like illness caused by a superbug they caught in the community, and not in the hospital where the germ is usually found. Wow, that's interesting. The cases show that this already worrisome staph germ has become even more dangerous by acquiring the ability to cause shock-like condition. So the Chicago deaths were described in last Thursday's New England Journal of Medicine. The case reported in Thursday's medical journal, the baby and two toddlers who died were otherwise healthy before they were separately admitted to a Chicago hospital with pneumonia-like symptoms between 2000 and 2004. The doctors believe the children probably inhaled the germ. The children died within a week of being hospitalized, and autopsies show that they suffered from shock and bleeding in the adrenal gland. Ew. I mean, it's poor, these kids. The first Chicago death occurred in the year 2000 when a 15-month-old girl was diagnosed with severe pneumonia. She died 8 hours later. In 2003, a 9-month-old girl was hospitalized with fever and breathing problems. Her condition deteriorated and she died 6 days later. A year later, a 17-month-old boy was admitted with respiratory problems and died the next day. All three cases, the victim's conditions progressed from pneumonia to shock. Wow. So hopefully they'll find it. They got some good hospitals in Chicago. Loyola Medical Center. You got a few of them. But anyway. And this next one is the Fed raises rates again. Central Bank boosts key short-term rate another quarter point despite expected impact of Katrina. Of course, this is prior to Rita, so I think they might have to lower these interest rates if Rita packs the wall up that they're saying. The Federal Reserve raised a key short-term interest rate Tuesday and suggested more rate hikes are on the way, saying it believes the effects of Hurricane Katrina on the economy would be temporary. The central bank's policymakers, blah, blah, boosted their target for the federal funds rate a quarter percentage point. Oh, man. I think they should have left it alone or even cut it a quarter percent because there's some kind of stimulus for the economy either down there. The whole country is going to get it because, you know, now with Rita going to slam into Houston, I mean, it's going to be a real big mess. This next one is from U.S. charitable donations for Katrina aid top $1 billion. Americans have... Oh, there I am reading my news there on the... it was from, I think it was Shadow who sent it. One of the guys from UK, I think it was. Is that the one-year anniversary gift from listeners, probably? I lost my spot now. The $1 billion. The Chronicle of Philanthropy said that the pace of giving is unprecedented in American history, but also said charities were expected to need even more funds to respond to the disaster. And it came on all this was before Hurricane Rita Cosby. The newspaper said that as of Friday, $1.606 billion was raised by U.S. charities. That's incredible. And, of course, it was a massive donation given on my program's behalf, apparently, so I thank whoever sent that in. A relief fund started by former Presidents Bush and Clinton raised a record, second largest sum, about $100 million. So it's good for them. You know, we need to help these people out down there one way or another. And U.S., here is one I saw. Of course, you know my favorite story is about these priests who are molesting these kids. So here we go. U.S. says Pope immune from abuse suits. The U.S. Justice Department has told a Texas court that a lawsuit accusing Pope Benedict the 16th of conspiring to cover up the sexual molestation of three boys by seminarians should be dismissed. Because the pontiff enjoys immunity as head of the state of the Holy See. This is the one I mentioned a few months ago. These stories just drive me nuts. The lawsuit cites in May 18, 2001, the letter from Ratzinger, written in Latin to bishops around the world, explaining that the grave crimes such as sexual abuse of minors would be handled by his congregation and that the proceedings of special church tribunals handling the cases were subject to pontifical secret. So, there you go right there. Amazing. Simply amazing. This next one is from yesterday from Senator Barbara Boxer, who's second highest vote getter in the United States from last year's election, or the third highest. Bush, of course, had the most votes in American history. Kerry had the second most. Barbara Boxer had the third most votes in American history from California when she was up for re-election. She's a feisty left-wing senator from California faced with a vexing decision what to do about a conservative Supreme Court. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So she's written a book, and apparently it's good timing. It's coming out now. The book's called The Time to Run. It's based on a fictional California left-wing senator named Ellen Fisher. So it's a quinky dink, I guess, that book just came out now. This next one is... Let's see. Anybody updating the story in Vegas about the car plowing into the people on the strip? No. Okay. U.S. voting machines should give paper receipt. This is from the commission that Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker headed. The independent commission also said that the voting system should be made more uniform, absolutely, across the United States. Individual states and sometimes counties within a state currently choose their own methods of voting. I've said that for years. We should all be on the same damn machine. I don't know why we're not. And why? In this day and age, why we, you know, in Chicago, some areas in Chicago, we still have a huge machine where you press the, pull the levers and all that. For crying out loud, the 21st century, let's get into it. The commission made 87 recommendations, including the paper receipts for electronic touchscreen voting machines, which are becoming increasingly popular. Carter said, how y'all doing now? Carter said this would make it easier to check fraud and confirm disputed results. So good for them. Absolutely. Fix those damn machines. ex-Tyco execs get up to 25 years in prison. This is another one. Praise the Lord. You know, pardon my pun, but former Tyco CEO L. Dennis Kozlowski was sentenced Monday up to 25 years in prison for looting the company of hundreds of millions of dollars. The climax of a case of executive greed, blah, 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 include tales of a $6,000 gold-threaded shower curtain. I hope you don't get water stains on that thing. It'll be a bitch to get out, I guess. And a $2 million Mediterranean birthday party for his wife. Oh, I remember seeing videos about that. That was rather weird. Kozlowski was led out of court in handcuffs, and his wife quietly sobbed from a bench with her silk handkerchief from a bench three rows back. Oh, the poor man. You know, he only looted, you know, what, billions of dollars. What is it? The judge ordered him and his buddy there to pay a total of $134 million in restitution to Tyco International. Good luck getting that money back. So I hope he meets a prisoner named Rufus there, and Rufus shows him the ins and outs of the jail cell, if you know what I mean, you know. So anyway, this next one is flat fee medical clinics come to rural America. Georgia doctors charge patients $500 a year for unlimited visits. See, this is not—I don't think this is such a bad idea. There's a clinic there at a Georgia Chesapeake Emergent Medical Care is brimming with patients. Each one signed on to a gutsy program that charges clients a flat annual fee of $500 for unlimited visits. Some complain of fevers, others wilting in heat, need IVs, and through the summer, the doctor has been busy with the steady influx of patients, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's something we should look at. I mean, that sounds like a good idea to me. Yeah, $500, I'll pay it. Do I go on unlimited visits to the doctor? Absolutely. Let's see. Jeep, this is another one of these recalls. You know, we're risking all this because of the nonstop coverage of Katrina and now the Hurricane Rita Rudner. Jeep recalls Grand Cherokees over fire danger. Chrysler to fix water contamination problem. More than 100,000 vehicles. Daimler, Chrysler, AG, blah, blah, Chrysler Group said Friday it would recall more than 100,000 Jeep Grand Cherokee Sport Utility vehicles because water contamination of the transmission fluid could lead to fires under the hood. Horrible. The recall involves 2005 model year vehicles with 3.7-liter engines and automatic, blah, blah, blah. Now it sounds like I'm a car dealer. Chrysler spokesman said that a number of small vehicles, condensed water from the air conditioning system could drip into the case that holds the transmission fluid, contaminating fluid, and leading to a shaking in the transmission. And if the owners failed to address the shaking, the transmission could operate at higher temperatures and could boil the water in the transmission fluid and eject some of the fluid. The fluid could come into contact with the hot part of the exhaust system and cause an engine fire. Wow. Jesus, what's with these cars? And we had Ford, what, a couple weeks ago, and I think Hyundai is recalling some cars. But where is this on the news? Yeah, unless you know, I guess you're getting the mail. But what if you moved and stuff, you know? I mean, I think we've got these 24-hour news stations. They can't cover more than one story at a time. You know, if it's not, you know, Katrina, it's Hurricane Rita Cosby or Rita Moreno, whatever the hell it's called. And then, you know, let's move on. Let's have some other news inside. It's just the same old thing over and over. This is from last week. Alleged panty thief arrested. This is from Des Moines, Iowa. I thought it was a nice, quiet farming community. I guess not. A man charged with stealing hundreds of pairs of shoes and women's underwear is back behind bars. An Iowa state trooper arrested Rusty Sills, even that name's kind of suspicious to me, I don't know, for violating his release conditions. Now he's in the Dallas County Jail without bond. Burglary investigator said his security tape showed Sills stealing women's underwear from the laundry room of the Sun Prairie Apartments. Search of Sills' home uncovered hundreds of pairs of underwear, shoes, and socks. Pervert. This next one is neighbors find obscenity mowed into the lawn. This is from another peaceful community, Omaha, Nebraska, which I know the most richest woman in Omaha, Nebraska, or one of the richest. Her name is Marcia Bear. Her husband was John Bear, I believe it was, and he ran department stores, Brandeis department stores, and they ran a newspaper called The Reader. And they own two hockey teams. There are two minor league hockey teams in Omaha. So they're very nice people. I used to see them at the Rio. She used to tip very well. So I do miss them deeply. more ways than one. All things are not good at Caesars. An Omaha man mowed an obscenity into his lawn. And now his neighbors are upset because they don't want their children to see the nasty language. The homeowner, blah, 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 cut a two-word expletive into his front lawn after being warned by the city about excessive grass and weeds around his house. The phrase is about 30 feet across his yard. You know, we don't have 30 feet long, 30 feet yards here in Vegas. If you do, you'd be three houses if you're at 30 feet. You know, I had like a 5 foot lawn in front of my house. Or, I saw the neighbor's yard with some derogatory statements mowed into the yard, a neighbor said. This other neighbor says he has three children, and two of them definitely will know what that says. It worries me. You know, first, she saw the big U and had to back up to see, you know, if that's what it really said. So these people are all upset because this guy mowed an expletive into his front lawn there. You know. Mayor cancels city support for a monorail. Now, we should have done it here with this monorail here. We got a monorail here in Vegas, which is a train wreck of a monorail. The thing's falling apart. You know, the somehow, some way, they got a tax exempt status. You know, from the state. It's supposed to be now. It's supposed to be a charity, but it's not a charity because they're charging $3 a person to ride the damn thing. And that thing is in shambles. It doesn't stop at every hotel. It stops at four stops, and you know, it works. It doesn't. And you know, for crying out loud. And you know, the state's going to end up taking that damn thing over anyway. Mayor Greg Nickels in Seattle on Friday withdrew support for the Seattle monorail project, a 14-mile system approved four times by voters but mired in mounting financial troubles. These monorails are always a big pork project, you know what I mean? The project's dire financial picture became clear in June when the board revealed a financing plan that would have paid more than $9 billion in interest on low-grade bonds, more than four times the project's estimated cost. Disgusting. This guy's just spending the money. What the hell? Spend it, you know? Let's let our kids pay for it. You know, what the hell? Screw them, right? Geothermal heat saving money. This is from Bismarck, North Dakota. Contractors, a Minot Hotel, North Dakota. This must be the only hotel they have in that state. I don't know. Contractors at this hotel, whatever it is, M-I-N-O-T, I guess Minot, are drilling a pipeline to the future. Workers have been installing pipes at the International Inn that will form a geothermal heating and cooling system. The hotel's administrator says it will lower fuel costs. Geothermal wells outside the hotel will regulate the temperature in only one part of the building for now. To heat the International Inn through the winter months, water will be run down through the pipes, through loops, about 150 feet underground where the warmth of the earth will heat it. The water will then go back into the hotel and release into a heat pump, which will send the vapor throughout the building. That's interesting. Let's see if that works. Yeah, maybe people get steam baths or something like a big sauna there up in North Dakota. This is from international, a little bit of international news. Now, you know, y'all can send in news that now it doesn't have to pertain to the United States. You know, you could send some international news. That'd be nice. Pakistan comments on rape condemned 3 days after President Musharraf said that many Pakistanis felt that claiming that they had been raped was an easy way to make money and move to Canada. The comments prompted outrage in Pakistan and Canada. The interview in the Washington Post published Tuesday, Mr. Musharraf was quoted saying, "This has become a money-making concern. A lot of people say they want to go abroad and get a visa for Canada or citizenship and be a millionaire and get yourself raped." I don't know what that has to do with getting a visa to Canada, but I don't know. The Prime Minister of Canada, Paul Martin, was quick to condemn the remarks, as were Amnesty International and newspapers in Pakistan. I don't know, whatever. This is from Nepal. 87 journalists arrested at protests. The police arrested 87 journalists gathering in Kathmandu to protest press restriction imposed since King assumed absolute power in February. The police arrested 200 protesters at a rally demanding that democracy be restored. So, wow, that's interesting news about Nepal. Clinton Global Aid meeting gathers $1.25 billion. Former President Bill Clinton and Siri adjourned a frenetic 3-day Clinton Global Initiative conference. I must have lost my invitation in the mail, Clinton. And commitments to tackle some of the world's biggest problems. Nearly 200 formal pledges were made during the global networking among world leaders, corporate tycoons, and political and environmental and religious activists brought together by Clinton. "I am gratified with what we've achieved here," said Clinton. "I hope you leave here with a sense of humility and a sense of how much better we can do." So he's planning on our summit next year. It has to do with the timed it with the UN, all the leaders of the world managed to come in. Blair was there and everybody else. He got convinced of $1 billion, so good for him. Maybe they can help. The meeting took up four floors in a mid-Manhattan hotel to address poverty, religious conflict, Our next week's guest will be get us into that. Be Lori Lippman Brown. She's part of the secular organization group that's got a lobbyist in Washington. So that'll be interesting next week. So we touch on that. Executive pleads guilty to Chicago payoffs. This is from WFLD, Channel 32, the Fox affiliate in Chicago. WFLD is Field Broadcasting. The Marshall Field family started Channel 32 years ago. So that's what the initial is, WFLD, Field Broadcasting. A former landscaping company executive admitted to paying off a city official with gifts, including a trip to a Wisconsin resort. I don't know what's in resort you can want to go see besides the Dells, and a computer for her child in return for $1.3 million worth of contracts at the city's new Millennium Park. This guy pleaded guilty in the court to two counts of fraud and agreed to cooperate with prosecutors. Let's see, what else? He made arrangements to send former Chicago Park District official Shirley McMahon to a Wisconsin resort in 2000 and bought a computer for her child to help organize other payoffs. Lovely. Free vacations in return for $8 million in landscaping works, including $1.3 million at the Showcase Millennium Park. After years, it opened in 2004, years of delays and cost overruns, which is nothing in Chicago. They always have overruns in Chicago. Look at the new Comiskey Park, you know, overruns, the Soldier Field overruns. Prison lockdown after warden loses keys. Prisoners at the Jacksonville Correctional Center spent 4 days on lockdown after an assistant warden lost a set of keys. The set of about 10 keys, which was still missing Friday, included a master key that opens doors to cell houses and two prison wings. High minimum security, doesn't make sense, high minimum security institution of 1,400 male inmates was locked down after a search failed to turn up the keys. Doofus, how the hell are you going to lose the keys to a damn prison, for Christ's sake? And ex-social services investigator admits to abuse. Yeah, that's all I got this week, is abuse, all these abuse stories. A former social services investigator plead guilty on Friday to sexually abusing several teenagers. By pleading guilty, 53-year-old Patrick Cezanay could spend the next 7 years, should be more, that should be 70 years. The guy admits he had sexual contact with four young boys. My client, unfortunately, did something that was inappropriate. He admitted his guilt, blah, blah, blah. Cry me a river. This guy should go away. He should be chemically castrated, I believe, as well. Number one, he molested many different boys many times. And where was his concern for the children back then? Absolutely. I was very concerned about the young victims, the children in his case, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he's perverts. He must register as a level 3 sex offender. I say so. And then they had that woman. Where's the other story about that woman? I had that story about the woman performing sex acts on that 8-year-old boy. I mean, that drove me crazy, too. Where is that damn story? I got it in here somewhere. Oh, I'll find it. And Arkansas Governor Wade's GOP White House run. Governor Mike Huckabee started a 2-day visit to Iowa. He's pondering a run for the 2008 vice presidential nomination. President Huckabee, I don't know, it doesn't sound very good. Sounds like Huxtable. Man, that's like Bill Cosby run then. Huckabee planned to meet with members of the blah, blah. He's the one who lost like 100 pounds or something. He wrote a book, and he's going to use it to try and raise his profile to run for office or president. So, I don't know. George Allen, I'd like to see him run. He used to be a former governor of Virginia, and his father was a football coach. So, I'd like to see him run. So, hopefully, we'll see. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of years, see what happens. Power dressing man leaves trail of destruction. An Australian man built up a 40,000-volt charge of static electricity in his clothes as he walked, leaving a trail of scorched carpet and molten plastic and forcing firefighters to evacuate a building. Frank Kluwer, who was wearing a woolen shirt and a synthetic nylon jacket, that's pretty potent right there, and also tacky, was oblivious to the growing electrical current that was building up as his clothes rubbed together. And when he walked into a building in a country town in the southern state of Victoria Thursday, the electric charge ignited the carpet. It almost sounded like a firecracker, the guy told the Australian radio on Friday. Within about 5 minutes, the carpet started to erupt. Employees unsure of the cause of the mysterious burning smell telephoned firefighters who evacuated the building. There were several scorch marks on the carpet. We could hear a cracking noise, a bit like a whip, both inside and outside the building. Firefighters cut electricity to the building, thinking the burns might have been caused by a power surge. The guy, who after leaving the building discovered he had scorched a piece of plastic on the floor of his car, returned to seek help from the firefighters. We tested his clothes with a static electricity field meter and measured a current of 40,000 volts, which was one step shy of a spontaneous combustion where his clothes would have self-ignited. Wow. And this guy, this firefighter, has been a fireman for 35 years. He has never seen anything like this before. Oh, amazing. Man tries sex video to get order lifted. A man thought he might get a protection order lifted by secretly videotaping himself having sex with the woman he was told to leave alone. He was wrong, police said. This guy, Justin, 26, gave a video to an officer expecting it to show the woman didn't fear him. Instead, the tape revealed more than enough to evidence for his arrest. He obviously didn't watch it before he gave it to us. The guy was charged with sexually assaulting a woman 2 days earlier in his apartment. The woman who has two children with this guy, he called her over to his home to discuss the custody of their kids. When she arrived, he cornered her and let her call for help until she had sex with him, she told the police. I was terrified, blah, blah, blah. Afterward, the guy showed her the camcorder, told her he had taped them. The video, which is about 30 to 40 minutes long, includes audio of the woman's struggle and makes it clear she didn't want the sex. He provides this videotape, so maybe he convicted himself with the sex tape, you know. Pervert. State not sympathetic to Northwest this time around. This is from Minnesota, KRE Channel 11, the NBC affiliate in St. Paul, Minnesota. And when Northwest hit hard times in the early 90s, the state ordered a $838 million bailout. This time, state leaders don't seem too anxious to run to Northwest's rescue after the airline declared bankruptcy on Wednesday. And now we had, US Air and Delta are going to merge in bankruptcy, so these airlines are getting fewer and fewer of them. Former Governor Ernie Carlson, blah, 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 the state wanted to bail out Northwest years ago, but they didn't. And so, well, we'll see what happens with these airlines. California governor signs ban on school junk food. The food served in California schools will be healthier under legislation signed by Thursday by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Gripper in Chief. The new laws impose a campus ban on the sale of sodas, set a new nutritional standard for vending machine snacks, and require more fruits and vegetables in meal planning. The former bodybuilding champion and fitness expert said that the new rules are all part of a new effort to fight childhood obesity. California is faced with an obesity epidemic, Schwarzenegger said, blah, 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 blah. Beginning in 2007 in July, students will be allowed to buy only water, milk, and some fruit and sport drinks. They have limited sweeteners. The governor also signed a bill that will raise nutritional standards for food sold in school vending machines and regulate the number of calories that can come from fat and sugar. It also takes effect in July 07, blah, blah, for more fruits and vegetables in school meal programs. Good for him. Yeah, so we need. He's sick of all that damn Pepsi and Coke and all that commercialization in the schools. You know, this is ridiculous. There's an Arab priest story. Priest charged. Community voices its concerns. Jasper, Indiana. Oh, nice little community. It's what I thought it was anyway. The Catholic community speaks out after a Jasper police is charged with sexual molestation. The Indiana State Police said Father Fred Englert from St. Joseph's Catholic Church sexually molested a 19-year-old man with mental disabilities. Ugh. The police say the alleged incidents happened twice between April and June, once at Patoka Lake in Orange County, oh, that's a nice area, and a home in Dubois County. Now parishioners and community members speak out about the charges. Some woman in the area's community, predominantly Catholic. So how are people coping with the news? Oh, we got our caller. And I think it's pretty sick. It's a mentally handicapped man. You got more and more about these. So these things are still going on. You know, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. This BS is still happening. Vatican searches for gays in seminaries raise alarm. A Vatican investigation of U.S. seminaries for evidence of homosexuality sparked by a scandal over pedophile priests infuriated gay activists, gay rights advocates on Friday. So they're going to visit 229 seminaries, which train about 4,500 future priests beginning this month, and they're going to demand cells. Police are going to try and search for gays in the seminaries. Nobody's going to admit. I mean, don't ask, don't tell. What are you talking about? But anyway, I think our guest is on the line, huh?
Is it Joe? Yes, hi there.
Joe Ganelman.
How you doing?
Hi, long time no here.
Yeah.
Yes, we haven't spoken to you in months.
Yeah, it's been several months, actually.
Yes, yes. It's Joe Ganelman. He's the blogger of the Moderate Voice blog. So how have you been, sir?
Pretty good. How pretty good, running all around. And actually, the people don't realize my blog has been done from so many different weird locations and in hotels since July. It's like I'm on the run almost all the time.
Really?
Of course, I have to be with what I write, so...
Well, I mean, like I say, your blog, like my program, has changed over the last year. I mean, this is the 1 year anniversary of the program, so you're the first blogger. So of course, I had to have you on the anniversary program, you know. But I mean, you're not just straight politics anymore. You cover pretty much the gamut, right?
I'm all over the place politically. I mean, some of the posts get people on the left very upset.
Mm.
Some of the people on the right get very upset by some of the posts. One week they say I'm a member of the Republican cheerleading squad, and I wrote back that I don't even fit into that dress.
Mm.
And then the next week somebody writes down that I'm a member of the I'm a closet liberal.
Oh.
So this goes on all the time.
Now, we have a lot of new listeners. Can you give them an idea what your blog is about and a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Well, the blog is called The Moderate Voice. And I don't belong to either party. I belonged over the years to both parties. In fact, I was a liberal, I was a conservative, I was a Democrat, I was a Republican, and then towards the end I just became an independent, and I'm going to stay an independent. And actually, I don't really fit into one category. So I just pretty much read a ton of stuff, which I always did anyway. And then when I write something, I just give it my best take, and I'm really not trying to defend one side or blast one side. I'm strictly giving my own honest analysis, which, by the way, might change later on when I see new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to offer a lot of links. And I think one of the big differences between my blog and many others is that I honestly feel that an opposing idea does not cause brain cancer. So if I'm doing a big issue, I will then take hours going through blogs on the left, on the right, in the center, and even some blogs that are out of the country, and try to get a really wide variety of opinions down there and put links for them.
Yeah.
So, and then also the other thing that I did the past year is because of my travels and being away so much and being in places where sometimes I cannot even post because I can't get online, I invited some people to be guest bloggers that I've now called co-bloggers. And my criteria was trying to pick people that were what I call independent thinkers. They could be center-right, center-left, center. There's one person who seems to sympathize more with Republicans, one or two sympathize more with the Democrats, but they're not really, nobody there writes lockstep. They all look at an issue and analyze it, so they're always keeping people a bit surprised.
Yeah, now you're quite an accomplished journalist. You used to write for the Chicago Daily News, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I have a very long journalism career, because I had been a student at Colgate, and then I went to get my master's in journalism at the Biddle School of Journalism in Northwestern. And then after that, I went overseas to India, and I was writing for the Chicago Daily News from New Delhi. And I would self-syndicate, so my stories would appear all over the world, actually. And that was before email, of course. That was all snail mail. And then I moved to Madrid. I also did stuff from Bangladesh. And then I moved to Madrid. And by the time I got to Madrid, the Chicago Daily News was getting ready to fold.
Yeah.
And I started writing for the Christian Science Monitor. So they created they only offered a couple people this category. They called me special correspondent of the Christian Science Monitor, which meant I wasn't a staffer, but they defined it as a full-time contributor. And I wrote 3, 4, 5 pieces a week for them when I was there, and I was there for almost 4 years.
Wow. And what's the big news on the blog right now? Are you covering that plane? Did that plane land all right?
I just saw that on television. It landed, and there was a very slight amount of fire, but it was pretty much close to a perfect landing.
Wow, wow.
You couldn't watch anything else because every single station here in California, that was all that they had.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because I was watching
local ones.
Yeah, I was watching when I was leaving my house. It was on MSNBC, and all of them were showing it, and I was like, Jesus, how's this plane going to come down? Because the front landing gear was like, it didn't retract upon takeoff.
That's right.
And then the plane had dumped all its fuel into the ocean because it's a transcontinental flight, so it had, I don't know how much fuel
in it.
But
for television, this was a kind of story they can't cut away from because, of course, nobody wants to say it, but the biggest visual would have been if something bad happened when it landed, and no news department would want to miss that. So every station was stalling while the plane was flying around burning fuel.
Yeah.
And when it landed, it was almost close to a perfect landing. The biggest news, of course, is, of course, Hurricane Rita.
Rita Rudner, right?
Yes, and I did a post on Rita turning into a Category 4, and then I just posted a couple of hours ago Category 5. In fact, the post that I did, I went back and I tried to find as many blogs that I could find. I looked at a bunch of blogs that were in Texas and quoted from a couple of the blogs in Texas. But now that's now a Category 5, and so unless it dissipates a little bit, we're looking at a double whammy.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to hit Houston, right? And it's also going to back wall up New Orleans again,
right? That's
right.
It could be Houston, Galveston, which, of course, was decimated by a hurricane some years ago, and then it could hit New Orleans one more time.
Horrible. And what about that mayor? What do you think of that mayor? I think that guy is out of his mind because having telling people to move in before the FEMA says it's all right, and now all of a sudden he's got to tell everybody to leave again because of Rita Moreno.
He's a real flake. I mean, in fact, the interesting thing on my blog was that I made a point of, nobody performed well. Period.
No.
And he's
still making mistakes.
I mean, the governor. If you look at the polls, I saw a poll where ratings went way down, and rightfully so. She did not say she didn't perform well.
No, stick a fork in her. She's done, right?
I mean, really. And then and the other thing is, in the mayor, of course, he just seems to be a very flaky guy, basically.
Yeah. They're flying around in helicopters with Oprah while your people are down
there
drowning in the water, and then he opens up the damn the city, and he knows this hurricane is coming from Florida. And I said at the beginning of the program that he just did because he can't be a mayor unless he has constituents. You know,
he has no sense of reality, basically.
No, he wants to be the man in charge.
And then of course the federal government. I mean, people that are saying, well, they did such a wonderful, the federal government did such a wonderful job, and people are playing the blame game. Mm-hmm. If they bother to say that the federal government's performance was not exactly stellar, shall we say? Well, if they think they did such a terrific job, then I guess Michael Brown better be rehired at FEMA, and George Bush better take back what he said. And I think what galls me about this whole thing is that it would be sort of nice if we reach it if instead of our political discourse going into a downspin where no matter what happens, even a major catastrophe becomes politicized.
Yeah.
If people can stand back and say, okay, here's a problem here, here's a problem there, there's a problem there. Mm-hmm. These guys, none of these guys did their jobs. Let's fix their jobs properly. What do we need to fix it so it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I mean.
And if people point to something and ask a tough question saying, well, you're playing the blame game. The blame game is basically the responsibility game. And when this is all done, every level of government that didn't do what they should have done, it needs to come way out in the open. We need to fix all of these holes that were in our system.
Yeah, and then
you can't do that if you're going after people. I don't care what party they are, or if they don't belong to party, saying you're playing the blame game. That's baloney.
Yeah.
There's a responsibility game. That's a tradition in American democracy.
Well, and that now you have to worry about this money getting pilfered too. All these billions of dollars are flying down there. Now that that's why I say he's going to put inspector generals in there, Bush. But I think he needs to put somebody high profile like Powell or
right.
Schwarzkopf, something like that, in charge.
Exactly. They need to get somebody. What they need to do. See, the problem again is that everything has become so politicized. There's only a limited number of figures in this country, and of course, anybody, even if somebody like Colin Powell, who most people still greatly respect, there's going to be a certain number of people that are going to dump on him. But let's just sort of put that aside. Realize that you simply cannot please every person in the way our politics is set up. But there's still a handful of people that have the kind of prestige where they seem to rise above being party hacks. To be very blunt. I'm talking about party hacks of the Democratic Party or the Republican
mm-hmm.
Party.
Mm-hmm.
And for something like the relief effort, they need to get somebody who has a bit more, get somebody who has some stature.
Yeah, and then, Karl Rove is playing a role in this business too, right?
Yes, and that's gotten some publicity, but I haven't seen the Democrats make a monster issue out of it yet, probably because so much is at stake and so many things are happening so fast.
Yeah,
with
the Roberts.
Hurricane Rita moving in.
Yeah.
And there's really no indication yet that there's anything, that would be untoward about his involvement, or that this is going to has become political patronage at this point. I mean, as far as beyond Michael Brown, because the Michael Brown thing was, it sort of revealed the underbelly of some of these appointments.
Well, yeah, they all kind of do that with FEMA. FEMA is like we're both from Chicago, filming in Chicago. It's like a patronage haven for the presidential, the presidents. They stick their buddies in the FEMA because they don't think, they'll never find them because FEMA only rears its head once every few years.
And of course, you're from Chicago, so patronage, of course, has a big D in Chicago as it does in Boston.
Yeah. Oh.
It's not limited to one party.
No. No. Well, you're having some problems with that in California with Schwarzenegger. So they're all doing that. But I mean, now the Roberts nomination. It looks like that's going to go through. The Democrats are kind of holding back now, huh?
Well, what's happened is that you had Harry Reid come out and basically say he hasn't answered the kind of questions that I wanted to be answered.
Yeah.
And he came out and said that he's going to vote against him. Teddy Kennedy, you knew, was going to vote against him, but you've got the L.A. Times, which normally is a lot more sympathetic to the Democrats, endorsing Roberts. You had the Washington Post, which is a lot more sympathetic to the Democrats quite often. They've endorsed Roberts. Excuse me. Got a little cough here all of a sudden. And then you got Leahy, the Judiciary Committee. He came out today that he's going to be voting for Roberts.
Yeah.
So I think if he had come out against it, then it'd be easier for people that I call the hardcore partisans, where you know what they're going to say, like a Rush Limbaugh or a Sean Hannity, to say basically, oh, see, all the Democrats are against robbers. But it's not, it really isn't that way. That it shows, if you look at the newspaper endorsements, and even on the weblogs, I made pretty clear at the beginning, the more I looked at the nomination, that I didn't see that much that, I mean, he was not a hardcore ideologue.
No.
And it is a fact that if he comes out and announces how he's going to vote in advance on a ton of issues, he can't vote on those when they come before the court.
Yeah.
But you see, one liberal blog that I really like is Tom Watson, a great deal, and he came out and basically endorsed Roberts also.
Yeah, I mean,
so, I mean, he strikes me as being, everything I've read is a very thoughtful conservative, and I've asked this question on my blog. I mean, for God's sakes, George Bush ran twice for president, despite Ralph Nader's very self-serving thing, saying there is no difference between the political parties. There obviously is.
Yeah.
Bush said he was going to appoint conservatives to the Supreme Court. It's no surprise he was going to appoint a conservative to the Supreme Court. Who did some Democrats expect him to nominate? Mario Cuomo or Alan Dershowitz?
I don't know. Right, well, they also threw out, what the hell's his name? He ran for vice president with Gore, Lieberman.
Lieberman.
Yeah, they thought maybe Lieberman might get nominated.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman, I'm actually from Connecticut. And in fact, my parents have known, they've met Joe Lieberman, and I know people who have known Joe Lieberman. In fact, somebody I know works with Joe Lieberman in the law firm.
Oh.
But I mean, I never really thought that he'd nominate Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, I think but what about the next one? About Sandra Day O'Connor's position? Everybody's saying it's going to be Priscilla Owens going to be the nominee. Huh?
Owens, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a thing that Holly in Cincinnati, if she wants to use the name Holly in Cincinnati, who posts on another blog. She's one of my co-bloggers. She put something on the website that was linked to another post she did that said that mentions that Arlen Specter went to Bush and told him that he thought that it would be really. He would recommend that George Bush waits a year or at least a while before he puts a second nomination in, that he should that maybe get Sandra Day O'Connor to serve for another year and let people get to know John Roberts first.
Huh.
But, of course, and they said the body language from the president was not very encouraging on that. But, I mean, there's a couple of schools of thought on this. Read everything out there. I mean, basically, actually one of the best blogs to tell all your listeners or websites that I find, this is redstate.org. That's a Republican blog, or more of a website. It's just sort of a blog.
Okay.
And Mike Rapinski and some other people, Josh Trevino. And it's really good and really solid. It's not one of the typical Democrat or Republican blogs that just hurls adjectives out. They have some very solid original reporting.
Hmm.
And they had a piece that said that about the president being tugged in various directions, that he really doesn't want a confrontation. He doesn't want somebody like Owens who's going to create a lot of problems. He'd like somebody that could be a little better accepted. And but he's being pushed by members of the base by saying, you know, they're ready to go all out for the president. Why not go all out? And also that the president can't expect support from the Democrats, so why doesn't he just appoint somebody that's a little more conservative anyway? So there is that tug of war going on right now.
Interesting.
And, of course, this is going to be interesting to see. Is he going to pick somebody on the same standing as John Roberts who can be accepted by a wide variety of Americans, and also, in addition to that, if he arouses some objections from the Democrats, it's not the all-out war type objections from the Democrats.
Well, who's the one that said today that, I think it was Reid, see, I don't like Harry Reid, he needs to go, I'm sorry, he needs to go, needs somebody else. You know, he made some crack today about John Roberts' head, something like that, some about the size of his head, I forgot what it was. Some remark, I don't know, maybe I misheard it, I was listening to Sean Hannity, so maybe he got it wrong, but it was Reid, somebody made a comment, I wish his... He had his resume, which is as much on his background as the size of his head or something like that. I don't know, something like that. But made a comment about his head being big. So I don't know. I thought that was ridiculous. I think it was Reid. I'll have to check.
Reid is sort of a funny. He's sort of a funny type to have in politics in this day and age because he's not really that photogenic. He's not charismatic, but he sort of harkens back to the days in the 40s or the 50s. We had just a very crafty. Very crafty, almost Machiavellian operator, just very soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just think he needs to go. I mean, he's a very, I don't know, I just don't like him personally because, you know, in Vegas, we never see him unless it's re-election time.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Then he shows up. I just think he needs to go. I mean, and plus he looks like he's sucking on a pickle all the time, too. Have you looked at him? He looks like nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but now about your blog. Now, how's the blog been going? I mean, is it you know, is blogging still as powerful as it was during the election, or how do you think it's been changing?
It's been changing, and of course, my hits went way up with the death of the Pope and the nuclear option, and it went way up actually with the first hurricane, and then of course once the emergency started dying down and the White House started talking about the blame game, and many people, including myself, said, wait a minute, because at the beginning, I believe in responsibility. I'm sorry, from everybody. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, Independent. I mean, I'm held accountable for things I do, and I just nobody escapes any responsibility, and you don't shift the blame. And I don't like when the local officials do it on the White House, or the mayor does it on the White House, but definitely when you got people for this period of time where Michael Brown was not being eased out. I was very critical as I joined Andrew Sullivan's call to demand his resignation and all this. But anyway, when that happened, then of course you get being accused of being a member of being a Democrat and all this kind of stuff. So the hits go up and down. I've often said when I first started my blog that I didn't know if a blog for somebody in the middle is possible given the way the blogosphere operates, because if you're in the middle, you don't have any natural constituency, and both sides do view you as the enemy. Yeah. It's that simple. And on foreign policy, I tend to take a very hard line. Yeah. I've always taken a hard line in everything dealing with foreign policy. On the war, I've supported the war. I've not said it's time to pull out immediately.
No.
But on the other hand, I've said there's a problem here, here's a problem there, and I've linked stories that where people raise questions about the war, because, again, I'm interested and curious. What I do is I post things that arouse my curiosity to get me thinking.
Yeah.
And so as far as how it's been going, actually, I'm in – the blog has become quite popular because I'm actually way ahead of where I ever thought it would be.
Yeah.
At the height, I think my blog had about 110,000 in 1 week.
Wow.
That was during the with the Pope and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's gone up and down between 30,000 and 50,000 and 70,000, 35,000.
It's amazing.
But when I started, I had 500 people a week.
Yeah. Huh? And that's well, you get all those hits a day now, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, do you think, you know, as we're moving on with the, you know, all the news and everything, and are blogs able to cover more than one story at once? I see you can, but I mean, it's like they're cable news networks. I can't understand why we have three of them with 24-hour-a-day news, yet they can only cover one story at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it boggles the mind. What about blogging? Like, you're covering more than one story at a time, I see, but some of the others, it seems like they're either it's one thing or the other. It's Natalie Holloway.
Part of the thing with me is when I started my blog, it was to get myself back into writing again.
Yeah.
I didn't just want to do like one line and a link.
Mm-hmm.
So for better or for worse, when people go to my site, they're going to see I tend to be a little long-winded when I talk. I mean, we're on time constraints here, but also when I write. So I tend to write really long things where I quote a lot of people. I link to a lot of things. But it's because I started it because I wanted to write. I wanted to do not just news, but offbeat stuff and, you know, a variety of things. And when I see stories happening, big stories, I try to make sure I get something on the site about the big stories. But I also am very conscious of the fact that I want some other things on there for people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get a chance, I do my Around the Sphere link fest. And that's very unusual for a blog because I will just pick blogs out of the blue from all different categories, just going down my blog roll and looking at links on other people's blog rolls to try to give readers a sampling of how people feel. And I don't even agree with half the ones I link to half the time on the Around the Sphere, but the idea is to give people a variety. So I'm always conscious of trying one or two main stories, something that isn't maybe a main story, and maybe Around the Sphere. And now that I brought the co-bloggers onto the site, they have pretty much total freedom. They can just double post. They can do a pointer post to their blog. They can do an original. And I don't censor anybody. They just pretty much write what they want to write.
Very good. Well, now what story has not been covered that you're surprised? It hasn't picked up, you know, nobody's picked it up. Is there anything out there that's a story that nobody's covering?
That's a hard question. Offhand, because I'm so wrapped up in the stories that are breaking.
Yeah.
I don't think so right now. I mean, I think the political stories are covered ad nauseum by the blogs, including mine.
Yeah. What about Kerry and Edwards already pounding the drums? It's like they're both going to run in 2008, huh?
Edwards?
Yeah, and Kerry
both.
Oh,
I think so. I think John Kerry's toast. I can't see that they're going to will be, should we say, unwise enough to give him another shot because let's just give you the words Bob Shrum. That was enough there. And then John Edwards, well, you know, somebody ran for vice president, but he didn't really set the world on fire, so I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if the Democrats are putting all their eggs in the basket, figuring it's going to be Hillary, you know, it's she has her issues and her problems.
What about Bill Richardson, the governor?
I always liked Bill Richardson.
Yes.
Again, I'm just saying, I make no bones about it. I basically am the centrist or a moderate, but on some things I'm conservative and liberal, and I really, really like Bill Richardson.
Yeah.
And I've always liked John McCain. I don't like some things that he says, I break with him on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy Giuliani,
he'll never
certain
run.
Things about him I've liked, but certain things I haven't liked.
Yeah. He'll run, but he'll never get the nomination, though.
He'll never get it.
No. No, he's got the bad hair. You know, he looks like a bad accountant from New York, and he's got all the skeletons in his closet.
If he could take John Bolton's mustache and put it on his head, then he could get it.
Yeah, Kerry's got to give him some of his hair too, I think. But I mean, any story? Well, what about the Gaza Strip story? That kind of got brushed under the rug there.
That's a step. Okay, now you raised an excellent point.
Yeah.
The big deficiency of blogs, including mine right now, by the way, because again, I'm here right now and I have to drive. Like a 600 miles round trip starting this weekend, and I'm going to be blogging each day. I'll be not as much, but I'll be blogging from hotels and all this. Where the blogs, most blogs are very much deficient, I think, is they become reflections of the American news media and of reflections of talk shows, because the big thrust is always on politics, domestic politics, Hillary Clinton and George Bush, and all the other people. But when it comes to the rest of the world, things like the Gaza Strip, things like what the elections in Egypt, any number of foreign issues, they need to do more. That's one reason why one of my favorite blogs is Oxblog.
Oxblog, oh yes, absolutely, David Adesnik and Patrick.
They're inspirational. And also, I got to tell you, one blog that's a conservative blog who does a really good job of not ignoring the foreign news is Captain Ed.
Captain Ed. Oh, yeah. Captain's Quarters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I go to see him, he really does a lot of stuff on foreign news. I try to do that myself, but like right now I'm sort of sidetracked with the hurricane.
Yeah.
But I'll go to Google, and my blog has been listed on Google as a news source.
Oh, congratulations.
So I look at Google and I see something, and it gets me really interested, so I just try to see if I can craft a foreign story on it.
Well,
get more stuff on the site.
Yeah, and I had on last week, I had David from GlobalPolitician.com. He was giving us a lot of foreign news, too. I'm like, where is all this? How come we're not hearing about anything? The Gaza thing is huge.
You had the guy from Watching America on, right?
Watching, Ed Robin on? Yeah, he was very good.
That's an excellent site for all your listeners. That is still one of the best kept secrets on the web. It's it's an absolutely superb site.
Yeah, he was a great guest. I mean, the site's watchingamerica.com, where it has the foreign newspapers, what they're saying about the United States. And it's interesting. I mean, a lot of news, you can find out what's going on in the country. You have to read the European newspapers, you know what I mean?
I was overseas in India and in Spain, I used to like to read the British press a lot. In fact, for my news, I preferred listening to BBC.
Mm-hmm.
I liked foreign news reporting a lot better than American, and I still do. I would prefer to listen to and read foreign news reporting than American news reporting.
Really?
Yeah.
But, the Robin does a good job on his, I mean. Now, what about these blogging companies that are popping up? What do you think about those? I mean, what's his name on? Duncan from the Weblog Empire and all them. Is there something to be said when they're like Pajamas Media, all that? What do you think of those?
Well, Pajamas Media, I got their things from Pajamas Media. I mean, I have blog ads, and I didn't even understand half the stuff that was going on. I'm sort of a little behind this, mentally behind on all the stuff. I mean, I can write and post, and I have limited knowledge, and I use my limited knowledge very well. But, I mean, I got their stuff, and I did one of their, holding orders until I found out more. But I don't know. I'm one of the few people who's very cynical about this. I just don't think anybody's going to make $1 million blogging. Mm-hmm. I don't think blogs are going to replace daily newspapers. I don't think the vast majority of people even know about blogs.
Yeah.
And if you talk to people who write about blogs, who write on blogs, everybody thinks that they're going to do this big post and it's going to change public opinion what they write, or they're going to attack one blogger and it's going to convince everybody. Well, you know what? People do a post, and blog readership is maybe journalists and politicians and other people with computers, but it's not going to affect the vast majority of Americans. And when other people who write blogs go after other people who do weblogs, unless two sides really want to debate and are into that kind of stuff, it's just basically, it doesn't accomplish anything. It's just the person who attacks just loses a reader, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who's been in the crosshairs several times, and my own philosophy is when something like that's written about me, unless it's really very valid, I just, as far as I'm concerned, there's a million weblogs I can read, and I just soon not read that weblog again.
Yeah, there's how many?
I just don't think that blogs have that kind of influence. I posted a really good thing by Peter Dow of the Dow Report, where he looked at the influence of blogs on the election in 2004, and that was quite interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. There's so many blogs right now. I mean, how many millions of them are there? I hit the story from back in August. I was trying to get to there's 50 million blogs. Is that right?
But see, they don't tell you how many. Somebody raised a good point when I ran something on that. You know, my joke was 50 million blogs and all of them linked to Insta Pundit. So, you know, and then I said, hey, guys, you want to exchange links? Yeah. I mean, my blog role is close to, if you look at any people who listen and who haven't seen my site,
yes.
I use my blog role because I read everything.
Yeah.
I have it into liberal, left voices, center voices, right voices, and other voices. I read all of those things, believe it or not.
Wow.
But basically, when they say there's 50 million blogs or something like that, say a million blogs, they're not telling you how many of those are abandoned blogs, how many of those are updated like once every 2 months, or how many of them are blogs that are started by businesses.
Yeah, I mean,
so they're not really all valid blogs.
No. I mean, and also your bread and butter is that you're a ventriloquist. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean,
yes.
Again, I was a journalist, and I tell people, you know, I used to work for daily newspapers, so I had a lot of experience working for dummies. That's one joke. Drum roll, please. The other one I've used is, I was a reporter. I'm used to putting words in people's mouths. Another drum roll, please. Actually, people shouted those comments out. But this is Red Ribbon Week in a lot of schools, and I do an anti-drug show. I do all levels
of good
schools.
For you.
I do a lot of fairs and festivals. I do corporate. I do everything.
Do you find people are looking to laugh now? I mean, everything that's going on, is people just looking to laugh? What do you think?
Oh, yes. Very definitely. And there's especially a market for family humor.
Yeah.
People are sort of sick of the X-rated, triple X-rated humor that they'll sometimes find on cable television. So when you get up and do a show like I do, that's basically a family show, which is G-PG. The most is like a slight R.
Mm-hmm.
If people request it, people are just amazed. They can't believe that they're watching a show that doesn't have a lot of swear words. But I keep these two separate. You know, I do the blog as form of my writing, and I'm going to try to get back into some paid writing projects. I miss the writing very, very much. I don't miss working for a daily newspaper, but I miss the writing, and I started to sort of get back into writing. And then the performing I do, it's sort of a different part of me where it's a totally different persona when I get up and do that stuff.
Now, Joe, the last question before we let you go, this is my new Barbara Walters question. You're supposed to cry during this question, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you could pick one newspaper and one story to cover, which one would it be and why?
Pick one newspaper for me to write?
Yeah.
If there's a
big story, any story you could write on, like from the past or whatever you could write about, what story would it be and which paper would you put the story in?
Wow, the paper probably wouldn't exist.
Oh.
But, let's see. Well, the one I would have, I think I'm really a big Lincoln buff, the Lincoln assassination and the impact on the country and the Civil War.
Very good.
That's just that new book that came out about John Wilkes Booth about a year ago in Lincoln was just incredible.
Yes.
And the paper, to be honest with you, all the papers that I wrote for, the paper that I really liked the best, that probably wouldn't want to run this, you have to say Johnson is president, would be the Christian Science Monitor.
Really?
Yeah, I still think, and to all your listeners, the Christian Science Monitor is still... You know, still they're still in financial troubles. Their circulation's not that big, but I tell you, if you go to www.thechristiansciencemonitor.com, you're going to see some of the finest, most balanced American reporting that you can find anywhere. It's just really a class act.
Wow. Well, Joe, I thank you for being on.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. The moderatevoice.com blog. We appreciate being on the anniversary program of the show. So once again, thank you for being a good friend.
All righty.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Bye. And that was Joe Gandelman, the blogger of the Moderate Voice blog. It was nice talking to him again. He hasn't been on in months, like in the first 6 months or something like that. He was on like three times because I had a couple no-shows. But other than that, it was nice hearing from him. So, and anyway, like I said, next week we'll have Lori Lipman Brown. She's the part of the Secular Coalition of America. We're going to talk about separation of church and state and other things. And in the next hour, we'll have hopefully our mystery guest from Battlestar Galactica. And then Robert Hayes from the Blogger News Network, hopefully. And then supposedly Koenig Rule is supposed to call him with a news item. So maybe we'll get to all that. We'll see if we can do that or not. And I'm trying to get an update on that car wreck on the strip at the Bellagio. Some drunk ran off the road there and plowed into 15 people who were there seeing the fountain show at Bellagio. So I'm still working on that. And we'll see in a few minutes. How many minutes, Mark? About two songs? About six, 7 minutes. All right. Thank you much. I'm going to talk to you in a couple minutes.
Oh,
And we are back in our second hour of Subject to Discussion. Welcome back to the program, heard every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific Time on LVRocks.com. And it was a nice first hour we had with Joe Gandelman, and I'm still trying an update on the wreck on the strip there. Apparently, those just joining us, a drunk driver in a car ran off the strip in Las Vegas onto the grounds of the Bellagio Hotel where they do the fountain show, and apparently plowed into 15 people with the car. And supposedly there's many injuries, and there's ambulances all over the place. Traffic's shut down, and I'm trying to get an update. I called the local news radio station, and their newsroom is only open until 5 o'clock at night, so I don't know about that. So I'm trying to get an update on that story, but I'm sure it'll be on the news and everything. So with that being said, I think we could bring our guest in, and I think hear it again. Yes, Muffet has joined us. There's Muffet. Muffet from the original series has joined us live on Subject to Discussion, and he's a legend from the original series. We welcome Muffet. You're welcome. Yeah, it's Muffet said it was an honor being on the program. And Muffet, you got anything to say to your fans before we get going with the interview? Long time no see. It's an honor to be on the program. Well, you're welcome. I've searched far and wide to gain this interview, and I'm glad you'll be on the program. Now, since the series is in the original series, what do you think of the new show? Really? And he likes the new show. It's a little more a little of a sexual tinge to it than the original series. No kidding. And I have a couple questions for you. Actually, a question from the chat room. How was it working on Battlestar Galactica? It was great, and everything. That was an honor working with Lauren Green. You like working with Lauren Green? Alpo, I know Alpo. He did those damn commercials for Alpo. I know they're good. You probably got some in his will too, a bunch of Alpo, didn't you? Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, Alpo is good for dogs, I guess. And another question for the chat room: who was your favorite actor on Battlestar Galactica? Noah Hathaway. Really? Yeah, I guess he was a good kid. Yeah, I mean, anybody else you liked on the series? Herb Jefferson Jr., Boomer. Why'd you like him? I don't know what they mean about black guys, but I appreciate the comment. Thank you very much, Muffet. And once again, I'm joined by Muffet from Battlestar Galactica. And his favorite actor was Herb Jefferson Jr., Boomer. I'm not going to say why, but who was your least favorite actor from Battlestar Galactica? Really? Benedict did what? Kicked you? Wow, man, that's SOB. I mean, he hates the new show, and he kicks the old dog around on the set of the old Galactica. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, and what else? Another question for chat room. Who stands out to you on the new Battlestar Galactica? Yes. Really, I like Trisha Helfer too. She's very hot. Yeah, you like hot? Absolutely, you like hot blondes, I take it, huh, Muffet? Really. Now, how was it working with Noah Hathaway? He played Boxy. How did you like working with that kid? Prima donna. Really? I can imagine. You didn't have scenes the last six episodes with him. Really? They had to shoot those on opposite days? You wouldn't be on the same set with Noah Hathaway? Wow, what an ego he has, huh? Now, any roles we can look forward to seeing you in? What? Ty's guard dog. Going to be Ty's guard dog? Wow. How about his wife? Oh, I see. You want to guard his wife. We all want to take turns with his wife, I think. Absolutely. She's like a doorknob. Everybody's had their turn with her, I think, especially on that ship. So, but I know you're on a limited time. You have a speaking engagement at the, at Schwarzenegger's reelection announcement ceremony. But we do appreciate you coming by. Any final words to the fans out there from Battlestar Galactica? Well, thank you very much, Muffet. We thank you for being on the program. Thank you. And that was Muffet from Battlestar Galactica. And we appreciate him being on the program. And, well, I did have an interview lined up, but the interview did not show up, so I had to I went for this. And next week we do have Leah Karen. She plays the racetrack. Now, she is guaranteed to be on the program next week, so I do rest assured I will have an actual actor from the new series on next week. So that's going to, I will have that happen. So it's all in good fun. I mean, who's all pounding the drums here? This kills the credibility of this show. Oh, for crying out loud. You can't have a little fun. You know, like I said, they won't give me a guest. You know, they're going to give me, what's his name? Gata in January. And the guest I lined up for tonight, they wouldn't give me the guest. So I had to, you know, pull out Muffet as the guest. So you're lucky it wasn't the Galactica itself.
Yeah, it was really hard to find Muffet sound effects.
Absolutely. So we worked hard on those sound effects, I'm telling you.
Some of the sound effects are actually the sounds from the old toy, the little plush toy.
Oh, really?
So, you know, finding recordings of that stuff, 20 years old, geez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm having a hard time getting these interviews. Why am I being had to wait for Gata until January, for crying out loud? You know, Gata's not the big star of the show. Why can't I have him next week or tonight, for that matter? Or, you know, the guest I did have lined up, so I don't know. But, so we'll see. But anyway, yes, Racetrack will be here next week on the program. I spoke to her myself today, and she is going to be on the program. She's a beautiful young lady, so I look forward to speaking with her live next week on the program, and it should be great fun. But I thought that was a little lighten things up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, talk to Muffet. Yeah, we haven't heard from Muffet in a while. We got his picture up on the screen. Can anybody see Muffet's on? Oh, you don't have Muffet up on the screen? Well, we show Muffet's still in the studio. He's waiting for his trainer to take him out of the studio, so we'll show Muffet. Muffet needs a little airtime here on Subject to Discussion. There we go. We're going to get Muffet on the, there you go. Oh, there he is. There's Muffet. Never looked better, I'm telling you. He never looked, but he's ready for a comeback. Hey, if they can put the hatch on as Zarek, they can definitely find a job for Muffet to do on the damn show. You know, how about him as the Cylon God, huh?
Yeah, that would work.
It would kill the credibility of that show. But I think that'd be hilarious. Try a Cylon next time. Who wants to talk to a Cylon? And no, there's a spoiler coming up. Koenig Rules is going to be calling. Koenig, if you're out there, you can call in now if you want, because everybody wants the spoiler. And so I don't know. Not hearing from Muffet was a good thing. Nobody wants to hear from Muffet.
Jeez.
I've been trying to get on Noah Hathaway too. I want to talk to Noah Hathaway. Get him on this program. Let's see what he's been. I understand he's living in Florida now. He's some kind of artist, but I'm trying to get him on the program as well. So we'll see. But anyway, yes, Leah Cairns is set to be on next week. She plays Racetrack on the series. So if Koenig's out there, he can call in, and we'll give away the spoilers for what we have for the show. And actually, I thought last week's episode was pretty damn good, huh?
Yeah, that was an excellent episode.
Yeah, I mean,
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, but the whole thing with them losing oxygen in the shooting gallery there, and drama with that.
It was just kind of strange to me that they had a little gauge, an oxygen gauge. Just and that's all it showed was just instead of like air pressure or anything like it was just oxygen.
Yeah, well, yeah, some of it. Yeah, they had to do that. And then, now what's with Tyrell? Tyrell's like the star of the show now or something, because he's had several of these episodes have keyed on him personally. I mean, the character has had, you know, he pretty much dominated the whole episode with that with the Blackbird ship he built, and then how all the crew came together to help him with the Blackbird and all that.
And it was a pretty cool ship, too.
Yeah, and Starbuck took it and flew it out of the Galactica, and I guess it's a stealth ship.
Yep.
So I wonder if that's going to be used in the season finale coming up with the Pegasus.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, how's the Pegasus looks a huge ship.
Yeah, that is a massive ship as far as, like, the rest of them are concerned. I can't wait for that to start showing up in the graphics and everything. That's going to look awesome.
Yeah, and I wonder, now, supposedly, spoiler alert, I guess, supposedly the two ships going to be aimed at one another as the season ends. I mean, how in the world can the Galactica match up against the Pegasus? Yeah, well, unless that's a network. The Pegasus could be a network ship, so unless the Galactica uses that, what they did on last week, is the virus, to fire a virus into the Pegasus. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Well, how about that with Boomer sticking that damn wiring up her left arm?
I don't exactly understand how all that happened.
Yeah.
It was like, ooh, look, she stuck a wire into her arm and fell over, and then everything stopped.
I think the implication was she orgasmed, and that caused the, honestly, because she goes, what are you waiting for with this? And she's like, ugh. Like that, and that what triggered the virus to go back to the Cylons and ship it. Honestly, yeah. And then what kind of formation are they doing? So they're forming up the Cylons. What the hell are they going
to
do?
I really don't understand how or why they were all formed up and not moving to begin with. What do they need? Like, wasn't there any base stars there? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. It was like a totally set up deal.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then, now, the DVD is not out yet, at least here in Vegas. I have yet to find the DVD. Have you found the DVD? Are you looking for the DVD? The season one? I haven't been able to find it at all. So people on the sci-fi board are saying they found it, but I haven't been able to find the DVD.
You could probably pre-order it on the internet.
Really?
I usually just pick my stuff up from Fry's, so whenever it gets there is probably when
I'll
get it.
I'll just steal it from Best Buy.
Or you could get, Netflix will probably have
Netflix?
It. They usually have all the TV series stuff.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But now, Koenig, if you're out there, you can call in. We can get to our spoilers before our next guest comes on. And but once again, I apologize for not the guest not coming through for me. And like I said, well, next week we'll have Leah Cairns on from the show. So, and people are all upset about Muffet being on. But, it's an anniversary show. So I think we're allowed to have a little bit of fun with the character.
Oh, we still got the studio tour coming up.
Oh, yeah. So. We're still doing the studio. I forgot about that studio tour.
Yeah, we could just, five minutes or so.
There you go.
Probably do.
Take all 5 minutes to show this damn studio. But anyway, so Koenig, anybody knows Koenig, tell him to call in. We could talk about the series. And I thank Muffet for being on the program again. Oh, his picture's still up on the screen. So I like that. You know, I mean, I'm entitled to have a little fun on the show once in a while. You know, at the 1 year anniversary, I had one animal on the show when I first started. Now I replaced it with another one. You know what I mean? my co-host, animal of a different sort. But anyway, you know what? I have not been able to find any story about the damned car accident on the strip, so that's bugging me. LaRoque says KR is in the chat room, so he's been calling in a couple of minutes. Ah, Doublelicious liked Muffet. There you go.
There's one thumbs up.
There you go. I think Muffet's got one more word to say, doesn't he? Muffet's got anything?
I don't know.
Where's Muffet at? I think Muffet's dying to say something else. I mean, dying, literally. Oh. He says he misses all his Galactica friends, and he just wants to be everybody's friend. Oh, poor Muffet. See, you're all beating up on the poor thing. You know, Muffet was the star of the damn first show, you know, and he's the one that nobody's heard from.
Saved the little boy.
Saved the boy.
I mean, saved, like, everybody.
Saved the damn ship several times, you know what I mean? Give him a break. And we're joined, I think, by Koenig Rules.
Hey.
Koenig, welcome to the program.
What's happening?
Ah, you missed my interview with Muffet.
You did?
Yeah, I interviewed Muffet.
Damn it, my computer froze up.
Oh, no.
But you interviewed Muffet, huh?
I interviewed Muffet. What happened? Oh, okay. The interview. Oh, here it is, Cylon. There you go. There's one more in there, isn't there?
No, I forgot it again.
So it's your little entrance, Koenig. I like that, the Cylons.
Yeah.
So not only do we get the Muffet on the from the original series, now I also get the original Cylons on too. It's like a homecoming on. Oh, there's Muffet.
There you go.
Muffet, say hello to Koenig. Koenig. Koenig likes you, Koenig.
Or
Muffet likes you.
As long as he doesn't hump me.
No, he likes humping Herb Jefferson Jr.'s leg. He says, you know what they say about black men is true. So I don't know what there you go. I don't know what has to do with his leg, but that's another story, I guess. But anyway, welcome to this is the 1 year anniversary of Subject to Discussion, so I welcome you to the program.
That's great.
Yes, and you have a big spoiler for us.
Yep, you had another guest on.
Oh, Muffet.
Your show, and he's gonna die.
Oh no, not Muffet! Muffet was just on.
It's Billy.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Billy was just on 2 weeks ago. Damn it.
He was on. Wasn't he on twice or no?
He was on briefly one time when we had the Battlestar Galactica cast party.
Right.
And then he was on by himself about two, three weeks ago. Yes. Oh
yep.
No. So
yeah,
he's going to die.
Apparently NBC has plans for him in another show. So.
Really? I mean, they picked up his series, so they're going to kill off. But when are they going to kill off Billy? Do we know when?
Not yet. Not yet. I you know, I mean, to get this information took some pull, but...
Wow. You had to pay off somebody or what?
What?
You had to pay off somebody or what?
No, just kept pestering the person till they said, just say it's unofficial.
Wow.
All right, so it's unofficial.
So unofficial, officially they're going to kill off Billy, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Is it some kind of melee or what?
What?
Is it going to be in some kind of melee or what that they're going to kill him off?
Well, I don't know if he's going to be in some melee, but he'll probably be aboard the Galactica.
Really? Really?
Well, hey, do you remember this week's episode, the Apollo was, Lee was
putting the moves
putting
on
the
D
moves
there.
On her.
Yeah,
so maybe that's kind of a lead into that.
Uh-oh.
Maybe Lee shoots Billy.
Yeah, no, he gets.
He's a Cylon. Shoot him.
No, he gets.
It's my girlfriend now.
No, he dies. No, he gets in trouble in that show. You know, what's his name? Did mutiny on the Galactica, and he's out running around. You know, what I mean, Starbuck takes off at the Cylon Raider. Nothing happens to her. You know, what the hell? You might as well kill Billy. You know.
That's right. Hey, did you know that Doc Cotto was on Supernatural the other night?
Really? What was he doing?
Yeah, he was smoking too. He was.
Was he playing Dr. Cottle on that show too, or what?
Oh no, he was just a guest star in the guy who played Leoben was also in Supernatural.
Wow, well, maybe that's good. They're crossing over the series there and get these actors some more jobs. But that's horrible. Now, what did you think of the most recent episode? What was it called? I remember the name of this episode.
Flight of the Phoenix.
Flight of the Phoenix. Yeah. How
about
Tyrell?
It was good. It was a good errand.
Yeah, I said he's been like the star of the second season here. He's been several episodes where he's been like the star of the show. You know.
Yeah, it was very good. Even though Gulp, the ratings. Did you mention that?
No, I know.
It was a 1.9.
Uh-oh.
But the Stargate finale, the two-parter, got a 1.8, the lowest of the season.
What is going on? How come those ratings are dropping like that? You think they'd be good enough for the cliffhanger?
Threshold was on that new CBS 2-2-parter, and so it bit into Stargate's audience, and I think a little bit of Galactica's, though I still think Galactica's audience is different from Stargate.
Well, why would the audience disappear then? I mean, it was
the audience seems to be disappearing more for Stargate than it is for Galactica, so...
Yeah, they're changing storylines on Stargate. There's new characters, there's new enemies. I mean, some people like it, some people don't.
Soap operas don't. Well, it always was, but
Galactica is a walking soap opera, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But I mean, I still think what's hurting it is having all those shows in a row on Friday night. All those four shows, they gotta move. What do you call it? Away from it, Firefly. They move that to a different night, or
they should even move Galactica to a different night. You know,
guys just need TiVo.
TiVo?
You guys?
Well, we
need
to keep watching to help the ratings. We need to get the ratings up.
Well,
that's
still watching.
TiVo? I don't think the Sci-Fi paying attention to TiVo, Koenig?
I don't think so. No. I think they go with the standard ratings.
There's not a Nielsen box on my TV anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think more people watch this show than the Nielsen numbers are reflecting. I mean, because, you know, the DVD is like sixth most best-selling DVD on Amazon.com.
Well, I don't think you need to worry about the 1.9.
No?
It's been hovering around a 2 all season, so it ought to be interesting to see what the Pegasus gets.
Yeah, Sci-Fi is saying that, Sci-Fi in the chat room is saying that BSG dropped 10% in the 18 to 49 age group. So
you mean last week?
Yeah.
Probably because they tuned in to see Threshold.
Threshold. So
which was okay.
I don't watch that because none of those network sci-fi shows last. I'm not going to get emotionally involved with a network sci-fi show. I'm sorry, they haven't yanked off the air because those shows never last.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. You know, Threshold. The other one. What's the other one?
Surface
and Invasion. All
Invasion's
those shows.
Invasion's on just now.
Yeah.
What was that one? The 4400? That was actually pretty decent.
Now that's good.
Yeah.
But I can never. They kept changing times on it, and then on the weekends there'd be like 10 episodes one day. It's like I could never actually get the actual storyline and really follow it because it was just bouncing around so much.
Right.
I don't know. It's just I still think they should do a spinoff of Galactica and put those two shows back to back on a different night.
You mean
know?
Like Galactica 1980?
No, do like a Caprica Galactica show with the Resistance down there in Caprica. Do a show based on the Resistance and put that in back of, in front of, or in back of Battlestar Galactica.
Or they could have a sex show with Cylon.
Yeah, or something like that. Well, I still think they could do a Resistance show and then build audience on a different night, because all their shows now, all their eggs are in one basket on Friday night. Sci-fi
right.
should be working to build up other nights. Build up. Why not Saturday night? Why Friday? Why don't they go after Saturday? Saturday is the lowest.
Or maybe pair the show with Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunter, or hell, I don't know. Put it.
Yeah, how about not?
Get the reruns.
Ghost Hunters.
Get the reruns to Space 1999 and throw it.
All right. When that show comes back, you know.
So anyway, well, Koenig, we have to let you go because I have our next guest lined up.
Who do you have next?
Next week is Leah Cairns. Next week.
Really?
Yeah, my guest I had set for this week, they couldn't make it, so
okay.
That's why I had to get Muffet in, but next week will be racetrack next week, so.
Cool.
All right.
Well, I'll let you know, by email how Pegasus does. I'm hoping it does great.
All right, very good, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Koenig Rules calling in with this scoop about Billy dying on the series. It must be in the second 10, obviously it's in the second 10 episodes. And so that'd be, they're supposed to kill him off.
Well, it seemed like they were trying to groom him for being the president after the president died.
Because
she's, got like a month
she's
or
sick.
Something
well,
left now.
Yeah, and the month on that show is like 6 years.
Yeah,
like
but, I mean, shoot, it looked like he was going to be president. And it's too bad, but...
Yeah,
hopefully
I don't know.
Hopefully it goes out with a bang.
Actually, I read somewhere on Sci-Fi's message board, I didn't want to spoil Koenig's spoiler, but I did read that on the sci-fi.com website, that supposedly there's going to be some kind of massive shootout or some kind of disaster on a Galactica. I don't know, where Adama gets nailed again. I'm like, how many times is this guy going to get nailed?
Jeez.
Boomer is supposed to be, I don't know who, Caravaggio, whatever his name is, he's the one to post it, that supposedly Adama gets seriously injured once again. And Billy is shot.
They're probably just taking them out of episodes so they could save $100,000 here and there.
I think Olmos has got some kind of a deal where he doesn't. There's our next caller. I think Olmos has got some deal. He can only appear in like 16 of the 20 episodes. They do something, take him out of 4 episodes. So I don't know. I'm guessing. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But that's what I read on the sci-fi board, that supposedly some kind of mass disaster, and Adama gets nailed, and Billy bites the dust. So we'll see.
Yeah, our guest's on.
Oh, our next guest is on the line. Robert Hayes from the Blogger News Network is joining us. Sir, are you there?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Welcome back to the program.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is the one-year anniversary edition of Subject to Discussion, so I'm honored to have you on the anniversary of the program.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're. We just had our Battlestar Galactica segment here. You're a big fan of the show too, aren't you?
Love it.
You love it, yeah.
It.
Yeah. What'd you think of last week's episode? It was pretty damn good, huh?
That was the Flight of the Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a terrific episode. I thought the way they handled the chief and his, his emotional problem and how he worked it out was just really extremely well drawn.
Yeah. And then,
of course, an awesome episode.
Yes, but and I think the gentleman that was previously on, Koenig Rules, he's a expert on Galactica. He had said that the ratings actually dropped for last week's episode. That was kind of interesting. And then now, of course, the big cliffhanger is coming up with the Pegasus, so that'll be interesting as well. So, but anyway, moving on. This is Robert Hayes. He's the he's a blogger of the Blogger News Network. Now we have a lot more new listeners. Can you tell them a little bit about Blogger News Network?
Sure. Blogger News Network is a website. It is a blogger-oriented news service. We have bloggers from all over the world putting their breaking news, original reporting, analysis, and editorial up on a central site for our dozens of readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what we are, Blogger News Network.
Yeah, now, how long have you been blogging? How long have you been running the Blogger News Network?
Blogger News Network started in February of 2005.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I myself have been blogging for about a year previous to that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your the site now. I've been on, I go on every day, but it's been slightly redesigned, a little more cleaner layout to it, which is very good. I have to compliment you on that.
Well, thank you.
And you have a lot of bloggers now. What's the big news right now? Now, let's see where we at here. I'm on your blog. I just lost it. I'm sorry. About Bill Clinton. GOP will run from his record. Clinton's back in the news a lot, too. You think he's priming a pump for his wife?
Is Clinton ever out of the news, Sean?
Yeah,
I think that I think he's pretty much out there as a front man for her.
Mm.
See, he's going to say the things that need to be said, but that she can't really come out and say for whatever political reason.
Yeah, so he's going to be the attack dog for his wife, you mean, right?
That is exactly what I mean, yes.
Yeah. And then now I see you're donating a lot of your money to your ad revenue to the Hurricane Katrina victims. Now, how's that been playing in the blogs? I've seen some of the finger-pointing and others. How's it been playing, do you know?
There has been a lot of finger-pointing. Mm-hmm. I think the initial finger-pointing came out with some of the more liberal sites being angry with the federal government for, in essence, being run by George Bush and not having magical powers. And then there's been kind of a backlash from some right-wing blogs, some of them, being very ideological about it, and others of them just saying, hey, well, here's the timeline from the last four hurricanes, and Katrina pretty much falls into the normal range for the response on the federal side.
Yeah.
I think where I come down is that for a hurricane, for any big natural disaster, it's the local first responders that have to take the initial responsibility to take care of folks and get things, working.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not able to do that, that's pretty brutal for the people involved, because there's basically no way for the federal government to have 100,000 guys materialize on the ground
mm-hmm.
30 minutes after the storm stops. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, what about that mayor? What do you think of Mayor Nagin? I think that guy's
Mayor Nagin, he's
a doofus, isn't he?
He seems to have kind of dropped the ball, at least in a couple of places, specifically the buses that everybody's been talking about. I think the main real problem seems to have been that he either didn't really understand his own city's disaster plan,
mm-hmm.
which seems unlikely, or that disaster plan was always a fig leaf. And basically the New Orleans disaster plan for the last 20 years has been hope really hard that there isn't a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that works great when there isn't one, but when something actually happens, you end up with a real mess.
Yeah, and then he goes and tells the people to come back in, knowing full well there's a hurricane brewing that's going to come at him again. I just think it was ridiculous. He looks like a fool, because now he got on TV yesterday and tells everybody now to leave again. The guy just doesn't make sense.
Well, people had high hopes for him as a mayor, and I think those hopes have been kind of dashed. He's the figure in the grand tradition of Louisiana politicians.
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down, he can't be a mayor without a constituency, and that's why he had those people move back in. He can't be a mayor with an empty city.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So what else is going on in your blog? And you have quite a few bloggers. How many people write for you?
In theory, Sean, we have about 200 writers.
Wow, very nice.
In practice, it's, of course, not that high. There's a lot of folks who are inactive or who only contribute occasionally, but still quite a number.
Yeah, Richard Marcus has got an article in there about Arlo Guthrie's benefit for the city of New Orleans. Are you impressed with all the outpouring of national support for that city? I think it's just amazing how everybody's kind of rallying around, huh?
Well, New Orleans is a beloved city for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a city where people have a lot of strong emotional connections to it, especially in the music world,
mm-hmm.
where it's part of that whole brilliant Delta tradition of really, really awesome music.
That
goes back 100 years at least. So I'm not too surprised, although I am gratified to see there has not been a lot of, it's their problem and we shouldn't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing any of that, which is great.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then I read a story where the American people themselves have donated like $1 billion to the relief efforts down there alone to the Katrina victims. And that's just staggering. Then you have all the celebrities doing these benefits and Larry King and all that stuff. It shows the goodness of this country when something big happens like that. I wish we could have more of that. But, take something like that to jolt us, I think, back to reality. Don't you agree?
I agree. We are a generous people, and it helps a lot. To have a disaster where where it's nature at fault and not other humans, because that lets us, or at least one would think that that would let us put a lot of the politics aside. Or some people didn't, but what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, now Bob Felton's got an article about the misread of the death estimates in New Orleans. I don't know. I mean, that number is kind of fluctuating. I remember they said that. Now they said when it first happened, it'll take months to get the water out. Now look, today all the water's out in New Orleans. You know, so we don't know how many people are really dead from this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's very difficult prospectively to be able to make a guess as to how many people are going to die in a disaster like this.
Yeah. I think so far it's up to 900 and something.
Yeah, they're somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. I think they'll probably come in between 1 and 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've probably found the bulk of the people who have died. There are probably some out in the country, which are going to be slower to find. And that's going to be more people who are going to get found when, hey, we're still looking for Uncle Bill. No one's heard from him.
Yeah.
Where could he be?
Yeah. Or those poor people who really have nobody left, and they're in a house by themselves, and they won't find until somebody actually comes into the house or
right.
For non-payment of house payment or rent and finds the body in the house. So, I mean, I just thought it was crazy why the mayor had all those people move back in. I mean, the FEMA even said the city wasn't ready to take the power's not fully restored, and there's a question about the air and everything. I just thought it was crazy,
Yeah, well, FEMA, the problem with having any government entity running things is that they have to try and be as responsible as is humanly possible. And, of course, that's good. You don't want an irresponsible government saying, sure, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But, we kind of have a tradition in the United States of being a little more independently self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
That we make the decision, okay, I think I can get back to my house, and I'll bring a generator in, and I'll drive up to Baton Rouge to go grocery shopping if I have to.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of my problem here that I have with my neighbors and my friends, and we'll pull together and we'll do it.
Yeah.
But when you have the government saying, "Oh, we'll take care of it, we'll run things for you," that tends to go away, and that's probably a bad thing.
Yeah, and I read about Natalie Holloway's father speaks out about Rubin Media. Dan Rios got that up on there. He was a guest last week. But, I mean, that story kind of got brushed underneath the rug with the Katrina mess. Now we got the Hurricane Rita Rudner. I mean, that all that just got brushed away.
Yep. Yeah. We've got some bigger news.
Yeah. I mean, now that's going to smack into Houston, apparently, right? It's going to be a Category 5, right?
Yeah, it looks like Rita's a Category 5 right now.
Yeah.
It may do the same thing that Katrina did and downgrade, because they do sometimes do that.
Yeah.
What happened in Katrina's case was that some warm air out of the Midwest came down as the storm was coming ashore and just took a lot of the wind out of its sails.
Yeah, so
it'd be lovely if that would happen for Rita as well, reduce the level of destruction.
Yeah, because it slams into Galveston. That's going to, how many people live in Galveston? Do we know?
Galveston? I don't know. I can find out for you.
Couple hundred thousand, I would imagine, because it's
at least.
I mean, that's going to be horrendous, and then now it's going to smack into New Orleans again too.
Well, now the thing you have to remember about Texas, as opposed to Louisiana, is that the local infrastructure is a lot tougher, and the local, what you'd call the social network of things like the police and the fire departments, are a lot more vigorous.
Yeah.
You're not going to see the Galveston Police Department looting the city after the water comes in.
Yeah.
Galveston is a lot more used to hurricanes as well. Because New Orleans has been historically very, very lucky. They get rained on, but they don't get slammed.
Mm.
Galveston has a population of about 60,000.
60,000. Well, that's not as much as New Orleans. That's about 1 million in New Orleans. So hopefully it won't be as bad. I hope not. And then they have the story about Shoes? How do you say his name?
Ballet Shoes.
Excuse me. About Jeb Bush's son arrested for intoxication. I'm surprised that hasn't been being played up more in the media. I mean, that's been kind of quiet about that story as well. About Jeb Bush's youngest son getting arrested with was it DUI? I think it was, or DWI.
Yeah, well, the Bush kids, they're good kids in a way.
Yeah.
But they have this tendency of getting in trouble with the drugs and the alcohol.
What?
And much as their parents did when they were young, too. That's one thing that I've always enjoyed about George Bush is that he didn't present himself as a morally wonderful guy from birth. He presented himself as a guy who had a lot of problems and then was able to turn it around with the help of God and the help of a good woman.
Yeah, I mean, hey, those things happen.
Do you remember Clinton's brother?
Clinton's brother.
Yeah, he was doing drugs, drinking. They were having pictures of him in the newspaper.
Roger Clinton.
Yeah,
and Roger got hooked up. That story got brushed away, too, because now Roger Clinton was tied up with the campaign scandal, and all that kind of got swept away. What happened to that, I wonder, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that story kind of disappeared with a lot of others during those years.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when it comes to things like the governor's son or the president's daughter or what have you,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting, and it's a scandalous story, but it's one of those things where, you know, there's not too much of a story there.
Yeah.
Now, if Jeb Bush went out and was hammered on the Capitol lawn,
that would be funny.
That would be a great story. That would be front page news every day for quite a while.
Oh, he's got to be a good boy because I think he's running for president, and I don't think, well, wait, I think 12 he'll be running for president, or 12 or 16. But
in 2012, there's a chance of that, I think.
I think so. I don't think he's going to run 08. I think it's too soon for an era Bush, but I think 12 or 16 he'll be running. But then you have Buckley F. Williams talking about Clinton blasts Bush's falling fellatio numbers. Oh, what happened to his fellatio numbers? That's terrible, huh?
Yeah, it's terrible. Bill went out and, you know, helped the country hooked onto this new, you know, form of sexual expression, and now it's a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. The over 50% of today's teenagers have had engaged in oral sex. So I guess the teenagers don't view oral sex as sex, just as oral, you know.
Clinton proved that.
Listen to me. I did not have sex with that woman. Yeah. And then North Korea abandons nuclear program. I thought they were demanding the United States come up with a nuclear reactor, weren't they?
I think it was...
We broke the story along with a lot of other folks very late in the evening when the announcement was first made
mm-hmm.
that the agreement had been reached.
Yeah.
Now the North Koreans are demanding. Part of the original agreement was that they would be provided with a light water reactor, which is not real useful for making nuclear weapons. And they're now demanding that basically now, you know, immediately, as a condition of their of the deal.
Huh.
Whereas we're saying, well, you know, no, this is something that's going to happen downstream after we've established that, you know, you're trustworthy and what have you. Now, one interesting idea that I've seen floated around is that we should give them the reactor today, and we should put it in South Korea, right on the border, and allow them free access to it, and allow them to, you know, run power lines from it and everything else, but it's on South Korean soil.
Huh. Oh, that just gave them a bigger reason to go attack South Korea again.
Yeah.
And what was the last time we gave them like $4 or $3 billion big aid package because they said they weren't going to do any more nuclear testing, and they went ahead and did it. So what? We're going to spend $5 or $6 billion on a light water reactor, and then about 3 or 4 months after it's done and complete, and wires are all run, and everybody's happy, they're going to say, "Oh, by the way, we just made another nuke, and we want another $3 to $5 billion aid package, or we're going to just use them against South Korea."
Yeah,
I think that's very, very possible. I think it's certainly a scenario that we'd have to look out for. On the other hand,
mm-hmm.
I think Winston Churchill originally said it, that talk, talk, talk is better than fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, let them talk themselves to death, because at least they're not firing missiles at one another, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a lot better. And then Iran's making noise. You know, its president was here at the UN. I mean,
well, they're seeing places like North Korea get these big aid packages for just, like, basically holding us hostage.
Yeah.
And I say let them build the nuclear power plant as far as they're wanting to get, and then give Israel, like, bigger fuel tanks so they can get over there and bomb that plant, too.
Well, I don't know.
Certainly something to be said for that.
Yeah.
The downside with the problem with North Korea is that they've actually got the bomb.
Yeah.
Once you reach that level of ability to threaten,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can be very rough on Libya,
mm-hmm.
and about all they can do about it is complain and cry. Mm-hmm. But North Korea could take out a couple of million South Koreans, at minimum, to our folks that are our allies.
Oh.
And worst case, they could get one over into Japan, or, God help us, put it on a boat and, you know, flip it into L.A.
Yeah.
And that's just a risk that really we have to be real careful about.
Yeah. Well, let's just nuke them first, then. I'm all for that.
You want to nuke everybody for? I mean,
there's certainly a school of thought that goes that direction.
Yeah,
well, neutron bombs don't destroy buildings. They just take out all the people.
Oh,
so.
There you go. How about that? We can neutron bomb them all. I don't know. I mean, we got to be careful because, you know, China's revving up, too. Who knows what China's going to do? They're taking all the oil. They got an army of how many people? Like 2 million people in their army? I mean, that's something we should be looking out for. What do you think, Robert?
Well, China's certainly a troublesome country from the perspective of trying to keep the United States safe. Probably our best bet is to try and keep them at least inactively hostile.
Yeah.
And hope for political liberalization, which is probably not going to happen, but is our best bet at this point.
Yeah.
And failing that, we need to maintain an absolutely unbreakable lead in naval and air power, because those are the arenas where we have the ability to outperform them on a military basis.
Yeah.
Now, like the Russians before them, the Chinese are rational people.
Mm.
They're not going to start a war that they don't think they can win.
Yeah.
So the best way to keep China in line is to have an air force that could wipe them off the map and a navy that could wipe them off the map.
Yeah.
So that they will be thinking at all times, gosh, maybe it's, you know, let's just make computers and cars and export them and fight the war that way.
Now, getting back to blogging now, what's the state of blogging right now? I mean, are blogs as important as they were during the election, or are we going through a transitional phase? What do you think?
Well, we're definitely going through a transitional phase. I think there has been a lot more emphasis in recent months on group blogs. It's blogs that are made up of several people that have been making the headlines and garnering the big audiences. I think the era of the one-man show is not over. There still be a place for that. But if you're going to really give value to the people that are reading it, I mean, a one-man blog, including my own, is essentially somebody with an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, everybody's got an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you get, you know, six or seven or more people together with a lot of different insights on things, you're able to produce a product that's a lot more news-oriented or a lot more valuable to the news audience. That's for news blogs. I mean, your personal blogging stuff is always going to be there. It's always going to be popular.
Yeah. I mean, are you concerned about the blogs becoming corporate and you have to wonder what they're talking, you know, they're pitching a product or, you know, like the parties and everything? I mean, I think it's where it's starting to head. You got, you know, who's fronting these blogs, you know what I mean?
We are definitely starting to see that. I responded to an ad on a bulletin board a couple weeks ago from a company saying, hey, we will pay you to blog. You know, if you'll mention our products on your blog, we'll give you money. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. What would I have to do? And they said, well, the first thing you have to do is you can't say that you have this deal, and you can't mention that you're getting paid for it. And that's just, that's profoundly unethical. You know, when you see an ad on, God help us, CBS News, you don't think CBS News is being bought, and you don't even suspect CBS News is being bought, because it's right there in the open. You know, it's CBS News is trading some time on their airspace for these people to pitch their product. You know that that's what it is. You know it's an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dan Rather, just in the middle of his, you know, spiel, starts talking about how great the Ford Prius is,
and
he doesn't mention that it's a paid message, well, you assume that's his opinion.
Yeah.
You're assuming that that's an honest, an unbiased view.
Yeah.
And, of course, we give a view like that a lot more credibility.
Yeah, I mean it's difficult to figure all this stuff out. I mean, you got these corporations running everything, and you got these blog networks coming up that, you know, these corporate blogs that, you know, some of the big ones, you know, Gawker and some of them. I wonder who, you know, are they getting paid for advertising, and are they aiming towards helping a certain advertiser out? I mean, you just don't know, you know.
Yep. I think that the transparency is really what's critical.
Yeah.
You have to know why people are saying what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I see someone talk about an iPod more than once
and
their set of blogs
something
on the front
wrong.
Page, you know that they're getting, they're promoting it.
Yeah, that's true. Now your blog is run, is supported by what? The Howard Dean Democratic Leadership Council? No? Somehow, I don't think so.
Howard Dean loves me.
Or the Reverend Jackson. No.
BNN has a couple different revenue sources. we mainly run advertisements.
Yeah. I was just kidding, but yeah. But no, yours is very good. I mean, I always go to the Blogger News Network all the time. I mean, it's just amazing the coverage you all do about, you know, national, even, you know, like some local issues as well. But in Vegas, you know, I only have one. I was able to find it. What's his name? John Rose, is that his name? Jimmy Rose? I think he's one in your list of reporters. He's a Vegas blogger. But I mean, where do you find most bloggers at? They're on the East Coast, or where are they?
They're pretty much everywhere.
Really?
I really don't see a strong trend. I'm sure if I, you know, sat down with a spreadsheet and a map, I'd find one. Hmm. But, you know, there's not any area that's not represented as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Other than, we were in negotiations for a while with a fellow who was working down in Antarctica on one of the research stations, trying to get him to blog for us. But he eventually convinced us that in a place where the news is, the refrigerator got fixed.
Oh.
And now we can have, you know, cold soda. That's probably not a whole lot of interest.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous. Actually, his name is Jim Rose, I think it is, who's from a Vegas blogger. He's works for one of the TV stations. I'm trying to get him on. We're talking about the news channels. Because, you know, we had this big wreck on the Strip today. So I don't know if you're familiar with Las Vegas, but somebody drove off the Strip in a car into the, you know, where the Bellagio is, where's the fountain show. And somebody, a drunk driver, drove into that and apparently ran over 15 people.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so I was trying to find out, you know what? And the local news radio station, their newsroom closes at 5, and there's nothing on any of the local station's sites at all about this wreck. So, I mean, it's local media for you. Horrendous, you know? You know, I know about it. Yeah, I know about it. And, you know, the TV stations are covering, at least on their websites, you know?
Yeah, that is, I think, the one thing that the blogs really can do for the news business is to put pressure on existing media outlets to step up to the plate and do their job.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, someone else is going to come and take the audience for that story.
True. Well, Robert Hayes, we're going to have to let you go. We're at the end of the program.
Shauna, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk with you every time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We'll have you on again a little more regularly, so I hope to talk to you again in a couple weeks. All right?
That'll be great.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you. And that was Robert Hayes of the Blogger News Network. He does an outstanding job on his site and blog, so we appreciate him for that. I guess we're not going to get the tour because it's like orgy
we'll
in the other room.
Yeah, we'll keep the tour till tomorrow or next week, I guess. We'll start off the show with the tour.
There you go. We'll start with, what lies behind the gray door? You believe me, you don't want to know what lays behind the gray door.
No, not tonight.
But I don't want to know what's in that refrigerator either. But anyway,
cabinet.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, wink, wink, nod. Okay.
It is a server
cabinet. Oh, I believe
cabinet.
I was just kidding around for the fans there. Does Muffet have anything further to say before we let him go?
I don't know.
No, I suppose I was told I have to walk Muffet before I leave. I have to give Muffet a walk. Oh, there's Muffet. Oh. There you go. We appreciate Muffet, the mechanical dog. I'm going to report Dirk Benedict to PETMA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Mechanical Animals, for kicking Muffet during the filming of the original series. Damn him. And like I said, next week with Leah Cairns, who plays Racetrack on the show. And I apologize again for the no-show of the guests, but, the things are happening. And next is the Wild Women in Vegas tomorrow morning. Is Daily Noise. What else should I plug? These other damn shows don't plug my show. Why am I plugging?
Go to LVRocks.com.
LVRocks.com. And I'm Sean O'Mac. Subject to discussion at LVRocks.com is my email. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.